Blog Talk Radio.
As a parent, your child's safety is your top priority. Protect Your Children understands. That's why they provide a wide range of free online resources, including in-depth protection guidelines, zip code predator searches, video tutorials, and more to help you protect your children from predators online and off. Don't leave anything to chance. The resources you need to keep your children safe are easily available and they're free. Visit protectyourchildren.org to find the tools you need to protect your kids. That's protectyourchildren.org.
All right. Welcome to the Protect Your Children radio show. I'm your host, Christopher Gelson, and we are glad that you are here. The website for the organization is protectyourchildren.org, protectyourchildren.org. And if you want to call in tonight, you can do that. The call-in number is 563-999-3645, 563-999-3645. You can reach us on all social media, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and probably a few more coming up shortly. You can find those links on our website, protectyourchildren.org, and we hope you'll connect with us on there. We do want to give a shout out to Julie. Julie is somebody who is a passionate protector who started a recurring monthly donation, and we're very thankful for that. And if you're interested in helping to support the mission of Protect Your Children, Inc., you can certainly do that by visiting the donate page on our website. And all donations are tax deductible, and we will send you a tax deductible receipt if you so desire. So hopefully you will do that. But we're thankful for all the people that like our posts, share our posts, retweet, share videos, do all that. You're all passionate protectors. The only way we can reach many parents and save thousands of kids is through the work of all of you, and we're very thankful for that. Last week's podcast and the week before and every week's podcast is available about an hour after the show, so you can go right to our channel here and also just go to our website. You can click on the radio show link and you will be able to listen to the podcast if you've missed the show. We're happy to say that last week's show had about 90 live listens, or not live listens, but podcast listens. We're not sure how many are listening live, actually, because only if you are a registered person of Blog Talk Radio do you count as a listener. That's Blog Talk. That's not us. So the mission of Protect Your Children is to protect children from molestation and kidnapping with the tools of education and awareness. We will accomplish this mission by providing free and not-for-profit low-cost services to anyone who wants to protect children. This is regardless of race, creed, color, sex, or religion, and we will work as a team with other not-for-profit organizations to accomplish this mission. You will not find us out there trying to get you to only work with us. We encourage everybody to check out other nonprofits, and in combination with our resources that we have available on our website, we can all work together to protect kids from predators and kidnappers, and that is the goal. So again, if you want to call in, that number is 563-999-3645, 563-999-3645. There is a live chat room is open right now. You can chat with me, the host, or other people as they're listening to the show, so feel free to do that. So tonight's show is going to be quite in-depth. We have episode 3 of Talking with Topher. So we're going to, and if you are following Talking with Topher, we're going to see what happens with Topher tonight. And if you're following his journey, you'll be excited to see some turns that it takes tonight. And we're going to have that coming up later in the show. We're also going to have some good news. Yes, because there's a lot of bad news out there. There's a lot of stuff that can bring us down. And every now and then, we have to be encouraged and hear some good news. So we're going to have a couple of good news stories tonight that are heartwarming, that have impacted people's lives. And hopefully, once you hear these stories, you'll be encouraged to go impact someone else's life as well, because that's all part of it. We have to show love, and we got to be love. And if we can do that, then we can help to change the world, even in our small world that we live in. And then the teaching tonight is going to be inside the mind of a predator. Okay, inside the mind of a predator. What is the theories that make them tick? Why do psychologists and even theologians and everybody have tried to figure out criminologists? What makes these people tick? We're going to look at the different schools of thought on that tonight, and also how you can keep your kids safe from predators and molesters and kidnappers. So that's going to be quite interesting, and it's going to be in depth. There's going to be some psychological talk. There's going to be a little spiritual talk, because there is a spiritual angle to this, we believe. And hopefully you'll have a notepad ready to take notes, because there's a lot of information. So, or you can just come back to the podcast. So starting this week, what we want to do each week is feature a child that is missing. We have, unfortunately, thousands of kids that are still missing out there. And we know that the families never forget. Maybe the friends never forget, but unfortunately the public forgets. Outside of a few people, once a story has been covered up by something else, the short-term memory kicks in and a lot of these children get forgotten about. And that's a sad situation. So what we want to do is each week we're going to highlight a child that is missing and share the story with you and encourage you to go out there and look up the person and see if you might know anything that would help bring a child home. So with that said, tonight we are looking at the story of Zachary Bernhardt. Zachary Bernhardt was a 9-year-old child that was thought to be kidnapped or was kidnapped. The story is still wide open all the way back in 2000, which is now 20 years ago. And there's still an active Amber Alert for him in the state of Florida. In fact, the Amber Alert was reactivated back in 2017. No one knows exactly why that was. Perhaps there was some tips that came in or some new information. But what this tells us is that they are still looking for Zachary Bernhardt, which tells me that the authorities don't believe that he is dead, as a lot of people have already surmised that he is. We as an organization aren't privy to any special information, but it is this host's opinion, and it's just an opinion, that this child is still alive. And why not? You know, I mean, the parents don't give up hope unless they're told otherwise. Why would you ever stop believing that your child is still alive? And I, for one, believe he is still out there. And there's other members of the organization that believe he's still alive and he's out there somewhere. So what I want to do is get into a little bit of story about him. And I apologize, we didn't get the picture up. There are pictures that we can put up for a slideshow. If any of you are watching live right now, you'll see a slideshow that's playing in the background. And we didn't have the time to get his picture up there, but I encourage you to search Zachary Michael Cole Bernhardt is the full name. And he was from Clearwater, Florida. So the story goes that somewhere in the middle of the night, around between 3 and 4:45 in the morning, his mother says that she couldn't sleep and that she got up to – there's several different stories, actually. The first story was that she got up to go take the trash out. And it's the middle of the night. She used to work nights. She was off that night. She couldn't sleep. So she gets up. She goes to take the trash out. And she doesn't lock the door, and her son, Zachary, is sleeping in her bed. And so she leaves the door unlocked. She goes to take the trash out. She comes back and boom, he's missing. She said she was gone maybe 15 minutes, comes back and her son's missing. She looks around, she calls the neighbor, she calls the babysitter, and then she calls the police. My son's disappeared in this 15-minute window in the middle of the night. Now, later on, the story changed a little bit. The story later on came out, and she said that she actually couldn't sleep. She was feeling restless. She got up. She went for a walk. She decided at the last minute to go for a swim at 3:45 in the morning, and people are wondering if the pool is even open at that time. Some complexes don't lock their pools. She lives in an apartment complex in Clearwater, Florida. But in any case, she says she decided to go for a quick dip in the pool. And the neighbors and everybody said that she never liked to go swimming. She wouldn't go swimming with Zach. She just didn't like to go swimming. But she says she got up, she went swimming. She came back to the apartment and went through her room to her bathroom. Now, Zachary at this point apparently sleeping in her bed. She says she didn't notice he was missing at that point. She gets in the shower. And when she gets out of the shower, she dries off. She goes out into her room and realizes he's no longer on the bed. And therefore, she thinks he might have fell off. She looks around the room, looks around the apartment, calls the neighbor, calls the babysitter. Nobody's seen him. Nobody knows anything. She calls the police, say her son's been kidnapped. He's missing. And that's the story. Nothing more, nothing less. Now, the police came out on several different occasions. Clearwater Police Department came out on several different occasions saying that they think the mom knows more. They say she is being cooperative to a certain extent. A couple of years back, there was an interview done, and they said that she was being cooperative, but not to the extent that they would like her to be. And the detective said, quote, "This story runs very deep." And they left it at that. So there are a couple of schools of thought out there that the mom knows what happened to him. There are some schools of thought that maybe there was a predator that happened to be watching the apartment all night long and saw the mom leave. Now, it was noted that there was no sign of forced entry. Of course, she said she left the door unlocked. So I guess there wouldn't be. And there was no report of wet towels, the floor being wet from the pool. You think it would be. The whole story is very, very strange. But here we are 20 years later, still no sign of Zachary Bernhardt. He would now be 28 years old. And there are some strange things out there. If you do searches on YouTube and searches on Google, everybody's got a theory of what happened to him. There was one report that a person living near Orlando claimed to have a relationship with Zachary Bernhardt. This was just a few years back. And he called into a show and told the people this. They then contacted the police to let them know. Nothing ever came of it. But 6 days later, that person that called into the show turns up dead. True story. So there are just some really weird situations that people have surmised have happened to this child. But in any case, it's Zachary Bernhardt, blonde hair, blue eyes, 28 years old now, missing from Clearwater, Florida. And if you go out to Google and you search his name, you'll find plenty of stories. You'll find all the details, different facts, and also current pictures of what he would look like. And we encourage you to do so. Also, on our website, you can find a page that is missing children from your state, and you can click on that page and you can click on your state, and it'll give you a listing of all of the children that are currently missing from your state. If everyone would get out there and just take a minute and do that, look at these faces. You know, sometimes these kids are not far from home. You know, sometimes they're hiding in plain sight. We remember some years ago, there was the three girls that were being held in Ohio, like outside of Cleveland. And everyone kind of wrote them off as being dead. But look what ended up happening. All those years later, it turned out that they were still alive and they were being held by this creep guy, you know. And so there's never a reason to give up hope unless a body is found. And to this day, there's been no body found. And so we're going to believe that Zachary Michael Cole Bernhardt is still alive. That's Zachary Bernhardt is still alive, and he's out there somewhere. There are a lot of details of the story that you can find online. There is a connection to North Carolina. This was the other strange part. The mother, just 2 months after her son was missing, up and moved and got married to somebody in North Carolina. Changed her last name, changed her phone number, changed her address. Personally, if my child was ever kidnapped, I would never do that. you never change everything that the child knows, because if they ever got free, if they ever wanted to come home, they would at least know how to get a hold of you. But she changed her name, changed her number, changed her address. The family says she did it to avoid the harassment, because the public, a lot of the public really believes that she knows what happened to him, and she did it to kind of go off the radar. Still, though, why would you change all of your information? I don't know. Maybe that's the real reason she did it. We don't know. Not long after that, she gets divorced, and then she gets married again, but this time she's living in Hawaii. Can't get any further from Florida than Hawaii. So she gets married, she's living in Hawaii, changes her name again, and recent stories are that she's now back in the state of Florida again with the guy from Hawaii, and the police said that she has been having some cooperation with them. So it's a very weird story, but we encourage all the listeners out there and the people that download the podcast to search up Zachary Michael Cole Bernhardt, Clearwater, Florida, and see if there's anything that you might have to add. If you do, then please contact the Clearwater Police Department, Clearwater, Florida Police Department, and they will be able to help you with anything that you have. All right. So next week we'll be featuring a different child, and we want to put this out there. If you personally are connected to a story, if you know somebody who's missing, we see this all the time on our Twitter feed. If you know somebody who's missing, or you're looking for somebody and they are verified missing by the authorities, if you'd like us to feature them on our website or on this show, please reach out to us through Facebook, through Twitter, or directly from the website, and we will definitely feature them on one of these episodes to get the information out there so we can help assist in any way that we can. All right, so we have some good news. For a change, we have good news. Wanted to take a break and stop from the gloom and doom and share a little encouraging story. So this first story comes from Fulton County, Georgia. And there was a student who walked 7 miles to and from work each day in hopes of saving up money for a car. And he has been gifted a new vehicle, all thanks to one woman's heartwarming act of kindness. So Jaden Sutton, an 18-year-old high school senior from, it's Cobb County, my bad, not Fulton County, Cobb County, Georgia, was presented a new car at a local Honda dealership Thursday. This article goes back a little bit, following a fundraising effort organized by LaVonda Wright Myers. The Atlanta resident told Fox News on Friday that she first encountered the teenager walking on the side of the road in the rain in December, and since then wanted to find a way to help him. She said, "We need more love in this world. Hate and division has plagued this world, and I'm determined to do my part, one person at a time." Myers told Fox News that she and Sutton initially crossed paths on December 10th, 2020, and she was driving through Powder Springs and ended up giving him a ride to his job. Through conversations with Sutton, Myers says she learned he was walking 7 miles each way to work because he couldn't afford Uber rides, and that he was hoping to one day purchase his own car himself with the money he was receiving from his paychecks. Hard worker, just trying to do what's right. She said, "Once I dropped him off to work, his heart and determination filled my eyes with tears," she said. And he said, "Ma'am, I walk because I have to." Myers told Fox News, "He was smiling in good spirits, and that's a child worth blessing," she said. Myers then shared Sutton's story on a GoFundMe page and 2 days later raised $6,365 in donations toward his goal. As a surprise, she then purchased a vehicle for Sutton this week at Nelly Honda in Union City using a $7,000 check. Myers said she added $635 of her own money to reach that amount after the general manager of the dealership agreed to drop the car's price down from around $7,800. Fox 5 Atlanta captured the scene Thursday when Sutton arrived at Nelly Honda unaware of what was about to happen. He said, "I love her for it." he was heard telling Myers after being presented his new vehicle. I just want to thank you so much. You don't even understand how much. Sutton told Fox 5 Atlanta that he would get home from school around 3:30 p.m. each day and then go straight to work for 6 to 7 hour shifts at a restaurant before once again walking all the way home. I knew that if I had to walk to work every day to get a car, that is what I was going to do, he said. Myers adds that Sutton also received his car at an opportune time for his family, as she found out that his mother recently was involved in an accident that totaled her own vehicle. This is what that she tells Fox News is one of the reasons why he was walking. This family could use a blessing and a helping hand, Myers said. As for Sutton, he now has a message for those striving to achieve their goals. He said, if you're doing something good or trying to reach a goal, keep doing it. You might get some help, and that's what happened to me. If that doesn't warm your heart, I don't know what does. And you got to think about the timing. He's been walking back and forth all that time. This kind lady notices it one day, gives him a ride, decides to surprise him with a car, and it turned out that his mother was in a car accident that totaled their own car, so they needed one. So he gets the car, and now he's able to get to work, and now the family actually has a car, all because of somebody's kindness and desire to help. And that's what we want to encourage you to do out there. That's what we as an organization are trying to do. You know, we're taking this little piece of love that we have for protecting kids, and we're putting it out there, and we're trying to make a difference any way that we can. And each time one of you steps up to help us out, you're also making a difference. And I think that that's what communities need. And everybody talks about, oh, the whole world has to love each other, and everybody just has to love, love, love. But you know what? What does that love look like? When you love your child, what does that look like? Is that just buying them stuff? No, it's deeper than that. Is it spending one-to-one quality time with your child? Absolutely. Is it keeping your child safe? Absolutely. Is it complimenting your child when they do good? Absolutely. Is it disciplining your child when they do bad? That is love. Because what parent would let their child just go off the rails and not try to bring them back? So when it comes to helping people in the world, you know, not all of us can, you know, throw $7,000 toward a car. But you know what? We can start a GoFundMe page for somebody and see if we can help out. You know, maybe it's not even that. Maybe you're driving to work one day, or you're driving somewhere, and the rain's coming in, and you see somebody walking, and you think, I have an extra umbrella in my car. And you just pull over and you say, here, take this umbrella. It's about to rain. Little acts of kindness like that can go a very long way. Remember years back, there was the whole pay it forward. That was hilarious. I was having so much fun with that. Because, you know, and if y'all don't remember, that was simply when you went to the drive-thru and you secretly paid for the car behind you. And, you know, they didn't know it. And then you kind of pulled off, and maybe you just pulled around the parking lot a little bit, and you waited, and you saw the reaction when they pulled up and they went to go seek, you know, pay the money. And the person said, no, it's already paid for. It's already paid for. And the people would be like, what? Like, they'd be so shocked and so happy. Like, it just made their day. In fact, that's something that people would talk about for a month. They said, remember that one time we went to go to Dunkin' Donuts and someone had paid for our food, you know? And what had happened is that it happened to me. I was going through a McDonald's and I went up to pay for it, and it was like, nope, you're already covered. I was just so blown away that I couldn't just drive away, you know? So the next day, what did I do? I went through the drive-thru and I was like, hey, can I pay for the car behind me? You know? And it just catches on like that. And that's what we got to do. And that's what this lady did. And you notice she wasn't thinking black, white. She wasn't concerned about if this, you know, 18-year-old was a Democrat or a Republican, or if he was black or white, or if he was rich or poor. She saw this hardworking kid trying to get to work, and it was raining, but he was still going to keep doing it because he was determined to do things the right way. And she said, you know what? He needs a little help. And we believe, as God would have it, the timing and all, she was able to bless him and his family. And you know what's going to happen now is he's going to remember this always. So he's going to turn around and he's going to bless some other people. And he's going to help other people out. You see, because things like that, things like what this lady did, transcends all this political division and all this rich and poor division and all this black and white division and all this stuff that's going on out there. When you show an act of love to somebody and you don't care about what political party they are or what color they are or if they're rich or they're poor or if they're gay or if they're straight, it doesn't matter. You reach out in love and you do something for somebody. That's what changes hearts. That's what changes lives. So we encourage you to do that. One other quick short story, and then we're going to go to the bottom of the hour break, and we're going to come back and get going on our teaching. So this pastor had his bike stolen. He was an avid biker. He used to do the bike trails and everything, and then he one day had his bike stolen. And he said that he was real upset about it. And he said, but after he got over that, he had to forgive whoever did it. He didn't know who did it, but he had to forgive them because that's what the scripture taught him to do. And it was the healthy thing to do. So he forgave whoever did it. And he started thinking, with COVID and everything going on right now and a lot of people needing bikes, this guy's been to Walmart recently, can't find a bike, it's very hard. Bikes are very in demand right now. He started thinking maybe this person really needed a bike. Maybe that's why they took it. Maybe they needed to get somewhere. So he decides to take the situation and turn it into an opportunity to help out all the communities around him. So he starts up this bike ministry, if you will, but he said the goal isn't to preach the gospel. The goal is to help fix bikes. So he started going out on social media. He started letting people know in his area, if you have bikes that need to be fixed, bring them on over. I'll fix them for you for free. And if you have kids that need bikes that are fixed, let me know. Come knock on the door. I'm here. We'll fix them for free. And it took off like wildfire. He ended up fixing more bikes for more people. And he was saying now, even the kids in the neighborhood would see him working on the bikes and say, hey, how do you do that? Can you show us how to fix our own bikes? And so now they're fixing their own bikes and they're fixing their friends' bikes. So now everybody's got bikes. And then people started donating brand new bikes and bikes that they weren't using that they could get out there to people who really needed them. Isn't that incredible? And you see, that's the way to take a situation that was wrong, that was hurtful, that was a mistake. And you turn it into a positive, impactful situation. And that's what this priest was doing. So let's encourage each other to go out and do that. And we can make a difference one life at a time. All right. So we're going to go to the bottom of the hour break. And when we come back, we're going to get into some teaching. Inside the Mind of a Molester. How is it thought to begin? Why do predators do what they do, and how we can protect our kids. So stay with us, and we'll be right back just after a couple of minutes.
Something's happening.
Something's happening.
Something bad.
Something bad. I'm too afraid to say anything.
Too afraid to say anything.
I know I've got to be brave.
I know I've got to be brave.
It's hard.
It's hard. Talk to me.
Talk to me.
We do everything we can to protect our kids. When 1 in 9,800 children drown and 1 in 360 suffer a bike injury, it's only natural to do what we can to prevent anything bad from happening. But did you know that 1 in 3 girls and 1 in 5 boys is sexually abused before the age of 18? Like wearing a helmet, prevention through education is the most important thing we can do to protect our children.
All right, we are back. Thanks for staying with us through the bottom of the hour. This is Protect Your Children Radio with your host, Christopher Gelson. And the call-in number, if you'd like to call in, 563-999-3645. 563-999-3645. The website is protectyourchildren.org, or you can also visit protectfrompredators.org, protectfrompredators.org. You can get to our website through either address. So let's get into a summary, condensed version. Listen, psychologists and theologians and criminologists and everybody have been looking into this question for decades and decades and decades and decades. So there's no way we're going to solve this tonight. We're not going to come up with all the answers. But the goal of this is to try to help listeners understand and parents understand that when you're dealing with predators, there are many components that make up what they're doing. And it's a very deep, disturbing psychological pattern that causes them to abuse kids and abuse other people. And to try to figure it all out, it would be a miraculous effort to do it all in one show. It's not going to happen. But I want to look at the top three theories, the top three things that the experts believe have something to do with why predators do what they do and do what they do. The one thought, and this is something that we agree with on these three, the one thought is that there's a spiritual connection there. We do believe in God. We're not ashamed to say that. This isn't a preaching show. This isn't a gospel show. But as an organization, we do believe in God. And we're not alone in that, as 90% of the world believes in a higher power. But there is a spiritual element to this. There's definitely some deep, dark stuff that goes on in Hollywood and in the music industry and other things that is just very demonic, and it's very evil. And it leads people to do a lot of stuff. Now, that is not an excuse. You know, the devil made me do it, you know. But there is definitely a spiritual connection to this. I mean, when you are hurting somebody and you do not feel it, when you do not feel that you're hurting the person, when you're just hurting somebody and you just can't feel any empathy for that, you can't even understand the depth of what you're doing, something's wrong there. There's a desensitization that goes on. There's a deep psychological situation going on there, and there's no doubt some spiritual connection there too as well. And so we have to look at the fact that there is a spiritual connection to this. Now, the number two, the second thing is an emotional connection. Okay, so there is definitely an emotional part of this, and we know that because any criminals, if you have ever watched even any of the shows, your Criminal Minds or anything like that, there's always an emotional connection to it. There is something going on in the mind of a predator that makes them feel like what they are doing is okay. That there's something going on that is in their mind that is medicating themselves, that is fulfilling some kind of a strange need or something to that effect. And, the experts will say that this goes usually back to childhood. This goes back to some deep scars, some deep traumas as a child. and they are trying to justify or get control of or medicate something from their past. Now, it is true that 25%, and that could be a low number, 25% of abusers were abused as children. So there's definitely a connection there where that a learned behavior at a young age can cause somebody to repeat that behavior at an older age. We've seen this with kids that have been taught right from the get-go that you steal to get what you want. You know, if you're taught that as a child, or if you're taught that anger and revenge is the way to get what you want, then when that child becomes an adult, is it a surprise that they're going to steal or that they're going to have anger and revenge all the time to try to force to get what they want? Wouldn't be a surprise. Now, these aren't excuses. This isn't like, oh, that's a good reason. Okay, understand. No, this is trying to understand the psychology and the emotional connection to why predators do what they do. So you have a spiritual aspect of it. There's an emotional aspect of it. And there is their upbringing. And what they've seen is that if a child is raised in a home where that's abusive and possibly sexual abuse or physical abuse or even verbal abuse or a situation where a devastating loss has taken place and they're in extreme sadness and hurt and pain, if sex is introduced at that time, through pornography, through a friend, through even a girlfriend or a boyfriend at that age, or some type of molestation or online or anything to that effect happens at that exact time, then that becomes a medication. And as you know, medication doesn't solve anything. It just kind of covers it up. It becomes a medication for that person. And if that's what a child experiences as the way that they got through a really tough time, then as they get older, when they start having stressors and they start going through tough times, they're going to revert back to the thing that was introduced to them. This is why drug dealers try to capture kids at a young age. They try to get them very young because they know that the younger they can get them hooked, the longer they're going to have them for life as customers. Predators will do the same thing. The younger they can get to a child, they can get them trapped, and they feel like they can have control over them. So it's the same type of idea. So there's definitely a spiritual connection. There's an emotional connection. The upbringing has a lot to do with it, you know. And this is not to say that if a child raised up in a two-parent home with loving parents and faith and all these things and the white picket fence and the dog and in the nice suburban neighborhood that child is not going to get abused. It's not to say that. But you have to look at what's going on in the child's life and what kind of circumstances has that child grown up in. Because these are all things that the experts are looking at to try to draw connections to why, you know, a predator does what they do. Now, I really personally weigh heavily on the spiritual side of it. I think that there's something evil going on there. Clearly, it's evil. But to be desensitized, to not have a conscience, to not feel like you're doing any harm is unbelievable. That means that your conscience is seared. There's something going on there where the person gets to the point where they don't even think that they've hurt anybody, that they just think that this is normal and the rest of the world is crazy. There's no repentance. There's no apologies. There's no nothing. And that's a scary place. That's a scary place to be. And so spiritual connection, emotional connection, a predator's upbringing. And then what happens? Well, so say all those three things are helping to create this predator. Well, we looked back at trauma, okay? Desensitivity is big. And we even know, not only spiritually, but just from, let's look at TV today. If you look back 20 years ago, 25 years ago, there were shows that wouldn't even show a child below the waist. And I remember this because they thought it was distasteful. It wasn't appropriate. There were shows that would not have any cursing. You couldn't say the B word. You couldn't say the S word or the F word, you know. And now it's like commonplace. And Christian parents and non-Christian parents and everybody, they just accept it. Like it's just normal now. And what that is called, that's a desensitizing of a person. They're desensitized. They think that it's no big deal. You have kids today that are spending 6 or 8 hours a day killing people. Oh, it's just make-believe. It's no big deal. There's games out there like GTA where you can choose to be a good person or a bad person, and they choose the bad person because they want to run over people. They want to shoot people. They want to kill people. And the game rewards them for it. And the kids don't feel anything about this. They say, oh, because it's only fake. I wouldn't do it in real life. But here's the problem. Why do they want to do it in the first place? Why does it make them feel good to kill somebody in a video game versus rescue someone? Because they've been desensitized. They've been programmed to believe that it's okay. And that's something else that you have to look at. When a predator continues to do what they do, they are clearly desensitized. They do not believe there's any harm being done. Some people actually believe they are helping the person. This is what we heard from interviews. There's predators and kidnappers that have been, you know, and people that have been convicted of killing kids, and they've been interviewed and they'd say, I had to take them out of this world. I was doing them a favor. This world is just going to be too evil for them. I saved them. They actually believe they saved a child by killing them. But see, this is how deep it can get. It's a very complex situation. Is there a quick, easy answer? Oh, this is why a predator does what they do. This is why this person kidnaps you. There's not a quick answer, but they are very complex beings. And because of that, because all the answers aren't known, parents, you have to be very, very alert. You have to be nosy. You've got to be alert. You have to be keeping an eye on your kids online and offline. You have to be watching what they're taking in. You've heard the old saying, garbage in, garbage out. If your child's putting garbage in, and you see what's happening today too, there is a culture that is trying to normalize pedophilia. They're trying to normalize it like it's okay. They're trying to say it's a gender thing now. You know, oh, this person loves women, this person loves guys, and this person loves kids. Okay. You know, the psychological association is trying to normalize it like it's no big deal. You know, and you see it all over the place. There was a commercial, Rice Krispies commercial, that irks me to this day when I see it. Got the young boy, looks like he's going in to do, looks like ballet or gymnastics or something, and he's nervous, and he remembers his dad telling him to shake it. And he opens up his little lunch bag, snack bag, and there's a Rice Krispie treat, and it says, shake it, kiddo, from his adult dad. Now, anybody in the culture knows what shake it means. It's a sexual reference. But you have this adult man telling this young boy who's in tights and he's getting ready to do gymnastics or ballet to shake it. We used to say break a leg, right? Now it's shake it, kiddo. And everyone's like, oh, that's a cute commercial. No, it's not. But they're trying to normalize it. And all that does is empower abusers. It empowers them. It makes them say, see, it's not that bad. It is bad. So parents, how do we keep the kids safe? Well, we have in-depth protection guidelines on our website, and that is our main resource that we have. These are not your mom and pop one-liners. These guidelines are in-depth. They cover the profiles of predators. They cover all the warning signs. They even help uncover the lies that kids think that have been through it. They help parents to identify traits that they need to be looking out for. It teaches parents how to protect their kids online. There is so much stuff in these guidelines that you can download for free from our website. protectyourchildren.org. That's the beginning of it. Getting educated, becoming aware of the stats and the trends and the culture and how important it is to spend one-to-one time with your kids and how important it is to give attention to your children. Because that's part of the problem. Kids that fall victim to online predators are usually engaged in these conversations with strangers because they're trying to get attention. And if they're trying to get attention from a stranger, sorry, parents, they're not getting it at home. They're not getting it in the way that they need to have it at home. And so they're going online and they're looking for it in strangers. Kids do the same thing in real life. If they're not getting attention at home, if there's a parent missing, if there's a void, a hole in their heart, they are going to be yearning to fill that. And they will go out there and connect with anybody they can that they think is going to fill that void and heal their pain. When the reality is that nobody can, but God and maybe the person that's missing from their life. That's our view. So you can do a lot of things. You can be proactive, download the guidelines, put parental controls on the kids' devices, teach them, educate them, make them aware of the dangers that are out there. Let them know that you love them. Spend time with your kids. Nurture them. Try to separate them from the culture as much as possible because it's trying to normalize drug use, sexual activity, and immaturity at young ages. Teach kids from a young age that despite how something feels, does not mean it's healthy. Teach kids to vocalize their emotions of hurt, sadness, fear, and anger, not to bottle it up. Because if you bottle up emotions, you're more likely to look for something to use to medicate, and predators will jump on that in a heartbeat. Teach kids the meaning of true love and acceptance, and that true love and acceptance is not sexual. Teach kids how to identify warning signs of someone that may want to hurt them. Teach the kids what can happen if they are abused. There has to be an element of fear in them. Teach kids that true friends should accept them without sexual activity. Teach kids about the importance of loving God and themselves before anything else and how important they are. And again, download the in-depth protection guidelines and go over them with your children. Parents, we know it seems like a lot. And you know what? You're trying to protect your kids. Trying to protect their future. You're trying to protect their conscience, their emotions, their heart, and their mind. You're not going to be able to protect them from everything. Kids are going to go through tough times, and that's perhaps how they can learn. But you have to do everything you can, everything that's in your power, to protect them online and offline from predators and kidnappers. Because they are out there. Back to Zachary Bernhardt really quick. That's one of the theories of thought. That the mother, and this is a theory of thought, not what we're saying, that the mother may have sold him into the sex slavery, you know, because it's real big in Clearwater, Florida. Nobody knows that to be true. Some people believe that the sex trafficking industry was looking at this kid for a long period of time. And maybe watching that apartment complex, and then they saw the mom leave and there was an opportunity. Nobody knows. But there are people that are out there actively looking to kidnap your kids. And yeah, that's scary. You don't have to keep your kids in a bubble. On our website, in those guidelines too, there are tips on how to protect your kids from kidnapping. A lot of simple, practical things. Staying in groups of one or, you know, two or more. Not walking the same exact path, you know, to the bus stop or to school each day. You know, not walking in dark areas where there's not a lot of traffic. Noticing vehicles, same vehicles going every day that seem to be slowing down and maybe trying to contact the kids. There's a lot of practical steps that kids can take to protect themselves. So there's a lot that can be done. And we're here to help in any way that we can. If there's anything that we can do, please let us know. Our website, protectyourchildren.org. You can connect with us through the website. All right. Talking with Topher. Talking with Topher, episode 3. What is happening with Topher? We're about to find out. We're going to take a quick time out here, regroup, and we'll come back with Talking with Topher. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, Talking with Topher, episode 3, coming at you right now. Hey, Topher, I saw your last two TikTok videos. They were quite funny, especially the one with the sound effect and your split picture of your facial expressions. Very creative.
Well, it feels real not doing the run by usual, though. I got a couple of messages from people saying I should do more dancing ones. They like them better. But I ignored them. Now, just since last week, I got 23 more followers.
That's awesome, Topher. See, I told you, you can do right and still gain followers, and you'll be safer now, too.
I noticed my mom took down some of her dancing ones, too. I think she assumed that I follow what she does.
Well, that makes sense, though, right? I mean, if kids see their parents doing things, then they are going to do the things and think it's okay to do them, too.
What?
Hey, Topher, what happened with your dad after you went home last week? Did he say anything about the changes you made on your videos?
Nope. He'll just act like he doesn't even care if I get into trouble or if I'm popular. Sometimes I think if I can just be really popular, that he'll love me and want to spend time with me.
Oh, Topher, you could have 1 million followers and make tons of money, and it wouldn't change him. Do you know why?
No, wow.
Because his problem is not with you. His problems are with him. And until he figures those out, he will not be able to show love to your mom or you in the way he needs to. It's not because of you that he doesn't show love.
Yeah, but it feels like me, though.
I know it does, Topher, but trust me. My dad was the same way, and I blamed myself for a long time, and then realized it wasn't me. It was him. I have known your dad and mom for a long time, and your dad has been like this since before you were even born. So you see, it's not you. It's really him.
I remember one time me and him went outside to play catch. It was so much fun. It felt like it was just me and him in the whole wild world. I loved playing baseball and wish he would practice with me.
Well, what do you say I ask your mom if it's okay for me and you to go to the field and I can teach you some baseball? I mean, I'm not your dad, but it may still be fun.
Whoa, that would be great.
So how's everything else going, Topher?
One of my friends from school told me that he was talking to some guy online who doesn't know in real life. That lives close to him, and I'm scared that something is going to happen to him.
Oh, what? That's terrible. What is his name?
Tommy. He is 10 years old.
Well, did you tell him what you learned about the dangers of talking to people you don't know in real life?
Yeah, but he says it's okay, and that the gal just talks gaming and visitors with him, so he thinks it's okay.
Well, you know, Topher, online predators don't usually start out talking about bad things. They want to get to know, you know, like, know you first and get you to, you know them first. I mean, this person may be a nice guy, but why would he be talking to a 10-year-old that he doesn't know in real life? This could be dangerous for Tommy.
Oh, no. What are we going to do?
Well, do you care about Tommy?
Yeah, well, he's my friend.
Does your mom know Tommy's mom?
Yes, she does.
Then I think you should tell your mom so she can talk to Tommy's mom.
But then Tommy will be mad at me and not be my friend anymore. Oh, hold on.
Topher, are you getting sick?
No. just get a little bit of allergies. Okay. But, sir, then, what am I going to do?
Well, maybe he'll understand and be thankful that you wanted to protect him because you care about him. I mean, that's what a real friend does, right, Topher?
Well, that is what a real friend would do.
So, what are you going to do?
I'm going to go be bold and talk to my mom about it.
Great choice, Topher. You're a good friend to Tommy. He should be happy to have you.
Well, I hope it doesn't hurt me.
Well, we'll talk again soon, and you can let me know how it went. I gotta run.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, talking with Topher, episode 3. So hopefully, Topher's going to help out his friend Tommy. See, and parents, there's a few things to learn from talking with Topher. The kids do follow what you do. And also, kids can actually help their friends if they think their friends are in trouble. So Topher's learning a lot. And you know, Topher's only 9 years old. And he's learning a lot at a young age. And he's being taught the right way. And a little bit of it's too late because he was already on TikTok. Remember from episode 1, the sexy videos and the cursing and all that. And he was being contacted by people. And he was replying to messages. And we know that he was trying to get the attention that he's not getting from his dad at home. And that's something else that can happen. So hopefully Tommy's going to be all right. And I wonder if Topher and Tommy will still be friends. Because we're going to find out what happens next week on episode 4 of Talking with Topher. So stay tuned for that. All right. Show's just about over. We're glad that you were here. And we encourage you to share this podcast and let other people know that it's available so that they can be protected and they can be aware and educated on how to keep kids safe. Again, the website for Protect Your Children, Inc. is protectyourchildren.org or protectfrompredators.org. You can find our Facebook and Twitter and YouTube links on our website page. You can find the radio show link if you want to share that with other people. You can find that direct link on the website as well. And you can find ways that you can help out. Financially is only one way since we are a 501c3 nonprofit. We don't charge money for resources and education materials. We would never do that. It's written in our bylaws that we would never do that. But you can help out in lots of other ways. You can have magnetic decals to put on your car. You can get brochures, pens. We'll send all that out to you for free. You can also like and retweet and share our posts. Spread the word on social media and with your family and your friends. And doing all those things, you can help us to reach our mission, which is to protect kids from predators and kidnappers online and offline. So for now, that's it. We'll be back next week with another show for you and talking with Topher, episode 4, and some powerful teaching. And together, again, we can work to make people educated and aware and protect more kids. So we thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.